entirely true. One, there's assumptions that what is going to be used. Development in the floodplain, I think, is totally off of the table for a number of reasons.
We've got Sean who's going to make a statement. He's going to make a statement, a clarification, and then we'll begin the wrap-up of our panel members who will give us their closing. That will take us into the 8:30 hour. Go ahead, Sean.
My understanding, that's why, is that you're targeting lands to be used in the shorter term, 20 years, not 50 to 100 years. Am I accurate in that?
Well, I'm free to say no, that's not my opinion at all. I'm targeting lands to be used, and that's it. And you made that permanent line. I mean, and maybe that's the lesson learned from the USB, is that dragging your heel in the sand and saying that's the line doesn't work. So what you do is you make it economically and literally physically infeasible to grow through it. And you say that is the final line. Now how do we grow back from there? Here is our forever and ever high water mark. How do we grow back from there, and how do we use the land within that boundary?
It looks like we've got lots of discussion. There's so much discussion. EGCC puts the rules on me, and I impart those rules on you, and sometimes we have to cut out important things. We'll let you get the clarification after they have their 2 minutes. And that means you can break out and meet with each of them separately to talk about your personal issues as well. Please, I would like Mr. Czernecki to begin with his closing comments. I want to thank all of you for coming out tonight. This is a difficult thing, keeping the order. Again, the rules are given to me, and then I give them back to you. So, please, Mr. Czernecki.
Yeah, it's been a very informative evening, and I appreciate all the comments, and it's been somewhat of a learning experience as well. Aside from the floodplain issue, which I think has been discussed, yeah, to me, this is about the city doing its due diligence. It's about managing growth, the growth of the community. And so I see this not as something that is going to have immediate impact, but it's going to have long-term impact. And I think it's important that if we look at Roseville as being a positive model for job growth, then we need to start planning now for the future. So I think it's important that we do take this step, but we don't need to assume anything at this point. I think that we have a process in place that I think by the fact that we're having this input from the community, I'm sure and I'm positive of it that the people here are listening to that. You have the ear of the policymakers here, and I'm sure they'll take into account all of your comments.
Sir, go ahead, Mr. Mann.
Thank you. It's my feeling that the land that is within the sphere of influence application is land that is next to Elk Grove, and that it is the Elk Grove City Council who should govern how the land affects Elk Grove. It's not a question now whether it's developed or not developed, but it is how it's going to be used now and how it's going to be used in the future. And I think it is important to Elk Grove to make the decision as opposed to a Board of Supervisors who are responsible for the entire community. I think our local representatives should be charged with that responsibility, and that's why I advocate bringing this land within the sphere of influence of Elk Grove. Thank you.
Go ahead, Mr. Brent.
I find it somewhat interesting that when Elk Grove Incorporated, the rationale that was presented to the people of Elk Grove was that we need to do it better than the county. You know, the county has not been representing us. They have not been developing in ways that we would like to develop. We need to do it ourselves. And I would ask the citizens of Elk Grove whether you have been getting anything different in the last 10 years, whether you have been just getting business as usual, and why is it likely that expanding the urban service boundary and planning for sustainable development is going to result in anything different than you've already gotten? I would like to see the city pause, reflect, do a good job with the vacant land that they have, make some accomplishments that they can defend, and in the meantime, try to solve some of the intractable regional issues that we have. For example, you don't have enough water to develop all the land you're talking about. And that needs to be resolved. I think that the land, the issue of windfalls and wipeouts, the come to property rights, and figuring out a way to protect the land that needs to be protected, and create an open space system and a way of funding it for the region is something that needs to be given priority, not the continued outward expansion where you're only going to get more of the same.
Yes, Mr. Dittrich?
I'd like to thank everyone again for the very good discussion tonight. What I look forward to is a very comprehensive market study that'll help tie a lot of this together. One of the huge things we mentioned is we need to fix the imbalance we have in the residential to job base. So with that, we can look at our vision over the next 5, 10, 25, 50 years. And then from that, we can look at how and if we need to even implement the SOI. But until we do those items, I don't think we can really say that that's needed or not.
Thank you. Mr. Davis?
First of all, I've appreciated the dialogue, the discussion, the questions. The more dialogue that occurs on this, I believe in the end, the better decisions will be made. And, you know, I also want to say that more of the same is absolutely flat out not acceptable and not on the table from my standpoint. If we, moving forward, if we grow the way we've grown, I'll have failed as a policymaker. That cannot occur. Having said that, what this is about is about developing a long-term vision for our community, for Elk Grove. And to me, that's interesting because I originally thought the timing of this discussion was not good, right? But now that we're sitting here in the midst of an economic downturn, and frankly, there are a whole lot less property owners at the table because folks that were involved, that were had interest in property, are not here anymore. I actually think this is the right time to have this discussion because as a community, we can wield a much stronger hammer and make decisions as a community and not feel the pressure of landowners that are just looking at to make money. So I believe the timing here is right. And the long-term plan that we do develop has to be built around a number of things. Jobs, obviously, we talk a lot about jobs. Transit, I mean, transit-oriented development. Pedestrian-friendly design in our neighborhoods. Preserving our rural lifestyle. Trails, preserving the rural lifestyle in the area that we currently have that zone. That has to be maintained. Conserving resources. Meaningful habitat preservation. Rural-urban transitional zoning, permanent greenbelt. There are a lot of components that are going to have to come out of this plan that are different than the past. And so if I were you and you're just looking at the history of Elk Grove and how they've grown, I would be as frustrated as a policymaker, as someone that was elected to implement change. I feel empowered to promote some of those new ideas that will ensure that the future doesn't look like the past, because it can. And as we grow and as we move forward in a very different way, at the end of the day, we will become the city that I know that we can be, but it is going to require us doing things differently.
Mr. Wassmer.
Let me add that Gary Davis is a product of Sacramento State, and I actually took one of my classes at one point in time. So it's hard for me to disagree with him. But I hear what he's saying, and I understand it, and I do agree with what he's saying. I think that Elk Grove is really at a crossroads, and this is where I'm going to play the Harry Truman economist. You know, on one hand, I commend Elk Grove for taking the local control. I'm a believer of that. I believe local government, you know, should be delivered at a level at this place. I honestly wish Sacramento had more local governments. The county people may not exactly agree with that. But I'm not against Elk Grove and their local control. What people are worried about with local control is an exact situation like this, where the interest of the region is superseded by the interest of the city. Right, and that's what we really need to think about. And you know, we can thank Governor Pat Brown for the creation of ALAFCO. Someone may not know that, but it is a unique institution to California. You know, this annexation, this sphere of influence in other states could just be agreed upon by the city itself and the new residents that they're going to be lording over. Right now, it has to go to a county and a group of cities to sit down, what's in the best interest of everybody? And I think that's a very important stage, and it's not over with yet. You know, the sphere of influence does not have to expand. It does not have to go into the floodplain. Those are all discussions that are going to be done at the LAFCO, and I would encourage you to be involved with them and think it's, and state your point of view, because there will be people representing the regional point of view. I would also throw out, you know, to maybe think a little bit about difference about Elk Grove. You know, in the academic literature, properties, people talk about the growth machine, right? There's this machine of developers, of city council people that's always pushing for bigger, right? Because city council people like to lord over a bigger area, right? Developers want to make a profit, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? But there's a role for government, there's a role for the region to stand back and say, are those profits in the best interest of what's going to, you know, be in the region? And, you know, these market studies that are being talked about, there's a huge amount of uncertainty. I don't know if gasoline's going to be $10 a gallon 10 years from now. That's going to make a big difference in regard to the jobs balance in that. So I would just encourage you to participate in that LAFCO and raise your voice. And it's where a California institution is actually going to work. We have enough of them that doesn't work. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sherry.
I'd like to use my 2 minutes just talking a little bit about the history of the dialogue between the city of Elk Grove and the county of Sacramento. It was actually 2 years ago, almost to the month, when city of Elk Grove staff approached the county and said and informed us of Elk Grove's interest in expanding the sphere of influence. From that point in time, there has been dialogue going on. Now, in February of 2008, the county executive wrote a letter to the then Elk Grove city manager describing what were Sacramento County's concerns and issues, and even describing, because there was a line that we're looking at, what parts of that line we potentially could support, what parts of the line we had issue with. From the time of that letter in February, city and county staff have been in dialogue to try to further flesh out what those issues are. Now, I did see an email, I think it was out this week, Bill Pitzer, where's Bill? Bill suggested where we need to go is an MOU between the city and the county, so we're very clear, very public about what those issues are. Sacramento County did something very similar with the city of Folsom when they expanded their sphere of influence south of Highway 50. We did something very similar also with the city of Sacramento regarding lands in the Thomas area. We think that actually makes a lot of sense. And I have been meeting with Patrick Blacklock and Don Hayes over a period of time to do exactly that, put together something that describes what we as staff believe to be the common interests and the issues. Our intent is to have that document elevated, and Pat's going to talk a little bit about how to do that so that we can have a proper public discussion about exactly where the city and the county stand on this issue.
Thank you. Mr. Blacklock.
Thank you. I want to note again that the City Council has taken a very long-term vision in terms of the SOI, and you heard the Mayor mention earlier, it is in terms of the ultimate city boundaries, and it builds on previous planning efforts, the SACOG blueprint, the County General Plan, and the City General Plan, all of which envision growth south of Elk Grove. The SOI takes those efforts and begins to look at not only the natural geographic boundaries, but some of the growth projections to form a boundary for the SOI that, again, is meant to be the long-term ultimate city boundaries for the city of Elk Grove. What are the next steps? Well, one, we heard that there is an environmental review that LAFCO will be initiating to evaluate the SOI application and the potential environmental impacts. That will have an opportunity for public comment and input. Secondly, as Planning Director Sherry noted, we're also working to develop an MOU that seeks to address some of the issues that remain outstanding, including the floodplain and how to protect it, given that it's a common interest. When the concept of an MOU came before Council, they endorsed the idea of having a public review period associated with that so that the product that ultimately comes back to Council can reflect the public's review and input. Our expectation is that sometime in October we would have a draft document that could be initially brought forward to the Council and to the Board of Supervisors so that they could see it and make it available for public review and comment. We'd then go into the public review period and complete that before finally bringing it back for Board and City Council consideration as a final document. Throughout all that, the city's website will continue to be a resource and provide information in terms of where things stand, what are the next steps, how can folks comment or get their questions answered. So please make use of that. And as always, feel free to call any of us. We'd be happy to visit with you directly on that. Lastly, I again want to conclude by thanking Connie Conley and the Elk Grove Community Connection for hosting tonight's forum. Thank you.
Mr. Davis.
this is one evening where I'm really glad to say that I'm a professional planner. This is exactly the way it's supposed to work. This is what they teach in schools, and you can't plan in a vacuum. As we support the policymakers need the best quality information that they can get in order to make the best decisions. And I think what I've learned over the years is that the best decisions are made when you take a collaborative approach. The SOI is no exception. We need to collaborate with all of you folks. We need to collaborate with all the agencies. We need to collaborate with the environmental groups. Anybody that's affected by the growth of Elk Grove, we need to collaborate and we need your viewpoints. I think in the end, we're all committed to, we don't want to look back when the growth spurt passes Elk Grove by and continues to head to the south. And then we look at our city and we say, God, we did it wrong. You know, I wish we could do it over again. And I've worked for communities that have been built out, and they're aging communities, and they're in the mode now of, we did things wrong in the past, now we need to tear buildings down, and we need to redevelopment. So I think, really, our policymakers, I have the highest respect for, and your viewpoints, is I think in the end, we all have the same interests at heart. Let's build the best city that we can, and be proud of it, and not say that we did something wrong.
Thank you. Mr. Hume, please.
I, too, want to thank the Elk Grove Community Connection for putting this on. I think the summit has been very informative, and, you know, it's the discussion that helps move whatever this process is, that helps move it forward and get people with a better understanding and hopefully find commonalities as well as differences. And I want to thank Danetta Garcia for an excellent job as moderator. It was very frustrating at times, but it did keep us on task and on time, and that's important. But I want to mention something that Professor Wasberg said that I disagree with. He said that developers and electeds drive growth. And that's not true, folks. Demand drives growth. Somebody mentioned that there's going to be 1 million new people in the Sacramento region. I don't know what time frame that is. That drives growth. Every year in California, there are 600,000 new residents in California. That does not include natural birth. That drives growth. How many of you in here have kids? That drives growth. Okay, so to look at what we do in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, or what who has projections and numbers, isn't providing for our long-term future. There was a question asked on me of what is sustainability. Sustainability is saying, at the end of the day, does this all still work? And I'm trying to look at the longest day possible to say, how do we get this all fit together? And I do not want to get into an us and them situation, because to Mr. Sherry's point, the county and the city have been working very well together recently and having very productive conversations and working towards that MOU that starts to outline some of how does these things work. And whether the floodplain stays in the SOI, whether it gets in the SOI but is never annexed, whatever, the fact that it's being discussed and the future of it is being discussed and the uses of it are being discussed and it's being done jointly, hey, that's something that didn't happen 10 years ago. So that in and of itself is business as usual changing. The last thing that I'll say now that my time is almost up is a lot of the discussion tonight from the questions, and it's been great. And I appreciate the questions asked of all of us and the questions asked of me. But a lot of it has been focused on the what-ifs as a negative. And I would ask that as we go forward in this process, we maybe turn that around and look at what-ifs as a positive. And how, if this is what we don't want, how do we drive this process towards what we do want? And what does that look like? And again, I believe that the more we can start talking about the actualities and not just the abstracts, the more we start finding out what we really are talking about.
Thank you. And Mr. Wynn.
Thank you very much. I found it very refreshing tonight that in a completely dysfunctional real estate market, and we're all suffering together on that one, that we can collaborate and exchange ideas. And I have to recognize the hard work that both Sacramento County and the city of Elk Grove have really put in. And this goes back to 2007. This is something that was just generated overnight. To try to come to a very responsible management of South County's growth, recognizing the varied interests at play. I've sat through a lot of the listening in the listening sessions and the community outreach, and there was quite a bit of productive dialogue there. I hope we didn't confuse matters anymore tonight, but this whole LAFCO sphere of influence process is confounding to a lot of folks. who haven't been through it before, or even if you have in another county, it's not necessarily the replication of the way things happen here in Sacramento. So I appreciate you bearing with us if the acronyms are flying, because frankly, we don't know how it's going to turn out. And that goes for the landowners as well. But I do think we have a real chance to create the best city that Elk Grove could possibly be. Like I mentioned at the outset, this is an opportunity that comes along for us planners, developers, residents, and policymakers rarely, maybe once in a career. And I'll pick up and close where Pat left off there. Look at the what-ifs as positives, if we can. I know we come at this in an impassioned way, and everyone had their entrenched interests coming into the meeting tonight, but imagine a city that bears its fair share of these million residents that Sacramento will inevitably have to house. Just its fair share. Do it in a sustainable, prudent way. Imagine a city where a lot of the people can actually live and work here and not jam 99 and 5 every day in the commute hours. Imagine a city where non-traditional infrastructure, these open bioswales and wide channels and bikeways, Cosumnes River Corridor, a 340,000-acre habitat plan can be a possibility. None of it will happen unless we think big and start now. I'd like to thank the Community Connection as well. And
thank you, panelists. We only have the room until 8:30 because of the school district's policy, and so we're sorry we didn't get to all your questions. I guess the discussion will continue. So thank you all for coming, and on behalf of my core group, we'll see you again. Thank you.